We're heading into a three-day weekend. Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It's a federal holiday to recognize the slain civil rights leader and his achievements and accomplishments. This year's civil rights are certainly on the country's mind. When protests erupted in Ferguson, Missouri, we asked you if Seattle's any different from Ferguson when it comes to race relations.
The only difference between Seattle and Ferguson really is the quiet, the way that racism is applied to certain people.
I find this decision heartbreaking and tragic and so maddening. The usual patter comes after the decision was announced about how police forces must be better trained and blah, 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 blah. But you know, you can't train out racism.
I was horrified when I heard that our mayor caught enough bad judgment to call the death of Michael Brown a murder. He's not a child at 18 and however many hundreds of pounds he was a man. He stole from somebody and wouldn't do what the police said. What does anybody expect?
That's what some of you had to say immediately after the Ferguson, Missouri grand jury decision. Jonathan Lewis spent the last few months in Ferguson. Lewis trains people in Martin Luther King Jr.'s philosophy. He calls it Kingian nonviolence.
Kingian nonviolence is a specific philosophy of Dr. Martin Luther King. A lot of folks think it's about what you're not going to do, but it's all about what you will do in the face of conflict.
Like the rest of the country, or many places in the country, after the Ferguson grand jury verdict came down, There were many demonstrations and protests that happened. Some of them involved people wanting to express themselves. Some of them became physical confrontations with police or other people who disagreed or stood in the way of the march. So if you entered a demonstration like that based on Kingian nonviolent principles, how would you prepare yourself to start walking?
Trainings is how you prepare yourself, through doing mock presentations. If we're going to go to this demonstration, this may happen, that might happen. How will we respond? It's just like any sports team. I mean, waking up every day professing to be someone who believes in peace and nonviolence, you already know you're going to be confronted with somebody who opposes your idea when you walk out the door. You don't expect folks to embrace this idea of the beloved community right off the bat, because what we see is not that.
What is the beloved community?
The beloved community is a space where folks work together. It's a space where we reach our fullest human potential, and it's what we're trying to do here in Seattle. My heart's in Selma, forgive me.
You came most directly from Ferguson. You have been traveling around the country. What can Seattleites learn from the demonstrations, the ongoing demonstrations in Ferguson?
Well, I may not agree with all of the tactics of many organizers around the country and even in Ferguson, but one thing we can learn from there is the need for demonstration, the need for creating creative tension so that these issues don't fall to the wayside and then there's another one and another one without any type of progress happening. Now, folks have been criticized for their actions, but Dr. King was more critical of the silent majority of folks who are sitting by. So if there's anything we can learn by the folks out in Ferguson, what you liked, participate in, what you didn't like, get out there and do what you do like, because we need to keep this spirit alive.
That was Jonathan Lewis. He's a Kingian nonviolence trainer. He's just taken a job as Associate Director of Student Leadership at the University of Washington. David Domke chairs the UW's Department of Communications. He invited Lewis to take that Seattle job. 2 years ago, David Domke started a tour that takes Seattleites to civil rights landmarks in the South. He calls it the Civil Rights Pilgrimage. We just heard Jonathan Lewis say his heart was in Selma, Alabama. David Domke told me the idea for the pilgrimage came to him on his first trip to Selma. That city is the site of three historic civil rights marches in 1965 that ultimately led Congress to pass the Voting Rights Act. Domke says he always wanted to visit Selma.
You know, you feel like you're standing in a sacred place. And metaphorically, I realized going to Selma on that trip, to go to Selma, you have to also go to Montgomery and to Birmingham and to Jackson, Mississippi, and to Philadelphia, Mississippi, and Oxford. And then up, and then to understand where Selma went, you got to go to Memphis, where Dr. King was killed. And I just realized that going to all these places gave me a sense of the history that was so much deeper than reading about it abstractly.
So, David Dombke, how is it different to stand on the Pettus Bridge than, for example, to see it in a play at the Seattle Rep or in a movie?
Well, you can stand at the base of the Space Needle, but that's different than going up to the top of the Space Needle. And when you go to the top of the Space Needle, you sense the meaning of that building in 1962 when it was built, right? What it meant for this city to build that Space Needle. And so to stand on the Pettus Bridge and to look over on the Alabama River where slaves used to come down the Alabama River and to realize that John Lewis and Hosea Williams looked at each other and said, "Can you swim?" when they were walking across that bridge because they felt they were going to probably be pushed off of it. It's just not the same thing as reading a book.
I'm with David Dombke. He's a professor of communications at the University of Washington, and he runs civil rights pilgrimages, and these are trips where he gives people go on these tours of the civil rights landmarks, monuments, places. Sometimes there's nothing there. It's a place. And David, there are tense race relations in Seattle, just as there are all over the country. When Ferguson erupted after the grand jury decision not to indict the police officer in Michael Brown's death, Seattleites took to the streets. How do you compare what is happening here to what had happened in Ferguson, Missouri, or continues to happen in Ferguson, Missouri?
I think it's very important that what happened in Ferguson did not just happen in Ferguson. One of the important movement developments in the 1950s and 1960s is when what happened in Montgomery didn't stay in Montgomery. It spread. Seattle, I think the reality is that we have a history here that's more targeted towards, had more experiences with Asian Americans than there have been with African Americans. And so one of my goals a couple years down the road is to build a pilgrimage around the state of Washington, because we need to get beyond the myth and the fiction that Seattle, for all as great as we are, and I love this place, doesn't have these challenges, because we sure do.
David, Seattle has consistently topped the whitest city in America lists, or been close to the top. There's a perception that we are white, that we aren't Detroit or Selma or anything like that. So what, when you look at this city, what tops the list of issues that we need to think about?
I think the fact that the reality that we are a heavily white or Caucasian city is all the more reason we need to do this work. All right. When Barack Obama won the Iowa caucuses in 2008, it meant something, because that state is 99% white. So if Seattle, this highly educated, progressive space, is able to do this work, we become a model for others. We are King County. All right. So when we made that decision to become King County, I think we also, whether we knew it or not, set in motion a responsibility to do this work.
We are talking just about right before the 50th anniversary of the Pettus Bridge March. For a lot of people, this is ancient history, kids who weren't alive when it happened. So what, David, makes this alive for you, civil rights movement alive for you?
Well, this is the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Bill, 1965. And since 2010, 22 states in the United States have passed laws that have diminished the ability to vote in this country. People dying in Ferguson are right now. People being incarcerated at exorbitant levels in this country are right now. There is absolutely nothing that is historical about this other than there's a legacy. This is this time right now. I have a 13-year-old son. I have a 7-year-old son. They happen to be born in what would be seen as a white person. Well, the reality is that they're going to live in a world that's much more diverse than the world in which I've lived in. And I want them to see themselves as mutually connected to everybody.
What initially inspired you to take, I'm sure it wasn't this big when you first started, but what made you take the first step to think about civil rights education and incorporate it into what you do?
Well, there's been a couple different moments along the way, but I'd say the biggest was when I was a graduate student then in the early 1990s, and there was a scholarship ceremony, and that scholarship ceremony happened to occur the evening in which the Rodney King verdict was delivered. And one of the professors stood up and said, in a very reasonable way, said, "Look, this is a special evening, and we should celebrate everything that's happening here. And I would like to challenge everybody here to recognize that an hour away, there are people who don't have the same opportunities, who don't have the same sense of hope, and we have a responsibility to help close that gulf." And that was in 1992. And, you know, I felt that at that moment. And so now I'm a professor. Now I'm a department chair. I'm a tenured professor. I'm in my late 40s. it's either now or it's not going to happen. I have the position of ability to do something about this.
How has it changed you?
I think you can hear it in my voice. It's always been a commitment, but now it's core to my being. Mm-hmm. You know, I wake up in the morning with my mind stayed on freedom. This is what it's all about.
David Domke chairs the University of Washington Department of Communications. Earlier, we heard from Jonathan Lewis. He's a trainer in the philosophy of Dr. Martin Luther King, Kingian Nonviolence. Monday is a federal holiday. It honors Dr. King and his legacy as a leader of the civil rights movement.